6th at the home of Joe Lamarola. His brother Mike is here, and together we are going to talk about some of their experiences in recording paranormal voices since they have been working at it after reading the English version of Raudiva's book Breakthrough early last fall. We hope this tape will reach Hannah Buschbeck in time so that she can take it with her to the conference at Fermo, Italy, a conference which I would like very much to attend myself, but since that is impossible, I am hoping that this tape may, in some small way, provide an idea of what is being done in this part of the country. And if I find time within the next day or two, I'll also write a letter summarizing some general impressions I have about the work being done in this field in the United States. Both Joel and Mike have been working extensively with tapes, and I've been spending the last several days with them, and we've been discussing their interpretation of what they have been doing and getting, and they have all kinds of questions about what other people are doing and the kinds of things they're getting and the kinds of questions they're asking, and they have expressed amazement that there does not seem to be more work done in other parts of the country and in other parts of the world trying to get information on what the nature of life on the other side is all about. So without me doing any more talking, I'm going to just open up and we'll make this a three-way discussion. Mike and Joe have notebooks on their lap which contain the transcripts of the tapes they have gotten, and they're not going to discuss the answers they've gotten on the tapes, but they're going to quote some of the questions they have asked and hope that these questions may stimulate others to want to do similar work. One thing that we have found here, which does not seem to be reported in the literature, is the description of so-called levels of existence. And they will give you the names attached to each of these areas or levels or whatever we may wish to call them, and then indicate how one leads to another, how they are tied together, and how through a process of progression entities can move up the scale. And there seems to be evidence that beyond a certain point it is harder to come back down all the steps and get back in communication with us mortals here on Earth. With that much said, why don't we open the discussion, and either of you can take the mic, or in fact, I can hold the mic just close enough so we can all speak without having to handle the mic. So just start off talking.
Go ahead, you started it.
Oh, I was introduced to the book Breakthrough by a friend of mine who accidentally ran across the title in the card catalog of the state library. He was looking for books on Northern Canada and somehow stopped at a certain spot in the card catalog, and the title caught his eye, and he pulled it out and said that sounds interesting and checked the book out. And the next time I visited him, he said, I have something I want to show you, and he showed me this book called Breakthrough. And guy was making tapes and supposedly talking to the dead. And I thought that was a pretty wild idea. And I myself had never in my life, well, possibly when I was a very young child, not even for sure then, I'd never believed in any kind of an afterlife. I thought when you die, you lay on the ground and you rot, and that's it. And by the time I finished reading his book for the first time, I was amazed, to say the least, that he was doing this, and I read it another time, while I was there. I think I read it twice in one day. I was really impressed with it. But I was not convinced, however, that the voices he appeared to be getting were voices of the dead. It seemed to me that he was getting voices. It seemed that he had compiled enough evidence, or at least presented his case well enough, so that it was quite convincing. So I decided I would try it. And according to the directions of the book, I started recording on my own, and I suppose I made a tape every few days is all at first, and I tried it at this rate for possibly 2 months. Had no idea really of what to listen for, except as how it was described in Breakthrough. And the consequence, of course, since I didn't have any skills, I really didn't come up with anything for 2 months. And then, when I was visiting Joe here in White Salmon, I hadn't really told anybody about this. At least people I know, it's not something run around telling while I'm trying to talk to these weird voices on the tape recorder. But I told Joe about it. I don't know how the subject came up, but I think we were talking about astronomy, possibly.
I think, yeah.
And I told him about this, and he said, wow. And he was very much like me. I don't think you ever believed in an afterlife either, did you?
No, I think, no. I thought about the same way. And of course, we immediately went into all kinds of theories as to what these voices really might be.
Yeah.
Other than the dead, yeah. You know, we just kind of...
He simply felt that Radiva probably wanted them to be the dead, because he had read Jurgensen's work, who said they were the dead, and et cetera, et cetera. And it is something I think is very natural. People want to go on. But we were still quite convinced that they were not. And before we got anything, we decided, well, whatever they are, I want to talk to them. So it didn't really matter what they were. And so what happened was, Joe got a hold of the book Breakthrough. He ordered it in the library here, and he got it, and he read it. And when he did read it, got quite excited. Read down. What did you buy?
Rushed out. Bought a $13.88 Midland reel-to-reel recorder, which is the cheapest one I could find. I figured anything was... I was just trying. I didn't know if it would be anything or not. And I immediately came home and made a recording. And funny thing about the recording, although it's no longer on that part of the tape, I didn't know what to say, so I just went by the book. Feel very self-conscious talking to a tape recorder in the beginning. And I did. Just for lack of something to say, I thought, well, I'll ask for some people I know that have died.
Just in case?
Just in case. And also, if somebody else answered, I don't mind if they impersonate some of my dead friends in the beginning, because I figure I'll be able to figure out what they really are. And I did mention a couple of friends of mine that had died. Ask for them and just let the tape play by microphone. And it was fairly quiet. There were some voices of my family in the background, which I could hear when I played the tape back, but I didn't hear anything else until the last minute and 12 seconds of the tape, and then I got very, very loud noise.
God awful. A bunch of noises, which I think you, Walter, you've already recorded.
Right. That's the one we gave you the recording of, with voices in it. So, and that excited me, and I spent the next week listening to the voices.
And that was the time when that Joe got a hold of me then. And he wrote to me and he said, check this out. And he gave me a little transcript of what he thought possibly some of these voices were saying. And I was very skeptical. I guess hearing is believing, but I came down then, the very next weekend, and Joe played me that very loud tape, which sounded to me like it had distorted music in the background, and the voices, and I was convinced immediately that he picked up a stray radio broadcast somehow, and that I just couldn't bring myself to say that it was anything other than that, and I was very skeptical. I just didn't believe it.
I guess, but a day or so before Mike came down, I'd made another one, radio.
He
recording, used a little transistor radio I'd removed the antenna from, and just recorded the static and got some voices that were very hard to hear at first, but were actually pretty loud
compared to some of the later ones.
Yeah.
And the fact was that when Joe started trying to get me to hear some of those, I sat there with, I remember sitting there with the headphones on for 4 solid hours before I felt that I could understand one tiny voice, and I think it was, "Come on, Joe," if I remember. And then they started getting clearer, and so that weekend I spent glued to the headphones.
Right,
practicing, and we made tapes too. We made a few, right. And I was finally spurred to go on and try this when I heard a voice say, "Michael." I was almost sure that I heard that, and so anyway, that got me started, and I thought, well, I won't pick up anything, and I went back and made a tape from FM radio, I think, the first one I made, and it was a very short tape, about 7 minutes long, and it took me a solid 7 hours to dig out the voice again. Hear that, Ray? So after 7 hours, I did have a transcript, which is my number one, and I went over it the next day and worked on it for a long time, but I was still very, very skeptical that these voices were voices of the dead, and I was for a couple of months.
We started in October, 1st of October. And
1972.
Yeah. Right. And
so we started training transcripts then, and nothing of what was said for at least a couple of months.
Right. Very different to the first week in December.
Yeah. Nothing they said indicated that they were voices of the dead. Most of it was just making contact or sounded like a filler.
Can you hear me?
Static comments. It was all very exciting that there were voices there, but we came up with about every theory you can imagine trying to explain what they were. And
what were some of the questions that we asked?
Some of the very first questions were, and I think this is the reason that we have got, or it evolved into, question and answer periods that maybe maybe people who believed that they were the dead in the first place would not have asked. And these were questions like, who are you? You know, where in the world are you from? And what are you? And things like that. And we didn't get direct answers to them, but this is the way our line of questioning went for a long, long time. And they would say things like, don't you really know who we are? You know, and I was unwilling to believe that they were the dead, and I assumed they were either an alternate universe of some kind or an alternate existence to our life. They were here at the same time as we were, a parallel existence possibly. Considered, what else we considered? Maybe they were from another planet. Maybe it was our subconscious. We considered that. Maybe it was other people right here on Earth. We considered that.
Even considered that they may be other life forms.
Other life forms, animals, trees, who knows?
Okay. Careful not to step on any spiders.
That's right, we were, that's the truth. Don't step on that spider, might be one of them. But I don't know, it was so totally unexplainable, and so that's the way our questioning went.
But I think that's how we got into the deal of asking questions and then playing a short section of tape, listening until we had the answers, and then asking another question in response to the answers we had.
Yeah.
And the voices seemed to be able to cope with that without losing continuity.
And after those first couple of tapes, we didn't get any what you'd call loud responses. And so what we would do was go way down into the basement, what we call into the basement, which is sort of below all the static and all the noise. I was actually spending about 8 hours a day for a long time just listening. You know, I had the time, Joe had to work, but since I was going to school and whatnot, I took a very light load and dropped a few classes.
Could only share about 4 hours.
Yeah, right. And so we really went into it and decided, if we're going to tell what these guys are saying, whoever they are, it's actually going to be a matter of training our ears and skills from this side, because we don't know any other way to make them louder. Although we tried everything from coils to magnets and diodes and all the things that were mentioned in Breakthrough, plus a lot of other things. And occasionally they were louder than at other times, but I remember in our correspondence with each other, it evolved from they could possibly be saying this to I think they might be saying this to I'm fairly sure they're saying this to this is what they're saying, you know. It just we were just more confident as we went along. The skills continue to increase. We might be 50% accurate now. I hope.
Yeah, well, why don't we record some of the actual questions that you have asked
since
indicate the trend of your thinking.
Okay, do you want early
and your interest?
Or
yeah.
Early?
Well, why don't we start with some of the early ones and then just move on. Just take a sampling as we go through the book.
Okay.
Obviously, we can't record them all.
Right. Okay. Well,
originally, a lot of them were made without introductions, without questions, until we got into the question and answer.
That's right. My first question was something like this one. I'd like to make contact with any voices that would like to make contact with me. We are waiting to hear you. This is Michael Amro. Please talk to us. And we are waiting to hear you. And that's it. I'm sure that most people approach it that way at first. And then, on a very early tape, I asked many, many times, what are you called? Please answer loudly. And we got strange answers that we didn't pay any attention to until much later, when these names of places and names of what they call themselves and whatnot were repeated again. And we started paying attention to what sounded like science fiction names in the beginning.
Right. I have one of the early ones I did in October here. It was a fairly short tape, but this is the type of questions we were asking. I'll just read the questions I asked. Two or five of them, I think. What are you called? That's one. Next question. And in these, by the way, I asked the question, would let it play for a while, ask another and let it play, and then listen to the whole thing. What are you called? Then where are you from? Can you see me now? What can I do for you? Do you use a transmitter? And the answers were, so.
Well, why don't you, just for the fun of it, why don't you give us the answer to the question, what do you use a transmitter? I mean, there'll still be plenty of things they won't have the answer to.
Oh, certainly. In that case, when I first heard it, I thought I didn't get an answer at all. I thought I was just talking around the table. Then later I got to thinking maybe that's good, because I just got one reply that I could hear at that time. Do you use a transmitter? And a female voice said, we need you. Which may have been a good answer. I had no idea. And, there are a lot of, do you have a physical body? Are you with me physically or mentally? See, this was still going on the premise that they may be some totally alien existence.
And I asked things very early. This is from October 28th. Are you happy in your world? What is the average height of your citizens? Things as simple as that, but I think curiosity is what spurred us on from the beginning. How can I help you to come through more loudly? Why must you speak in choppy sentences? What can you tell me about the future? How much do you know about other planets other than Earth? Are you my friend?
I think I'm noticing in here that a lot of the questions was an attempt to find out if we could help them be louder. Because all three of the questions I have here, does it help if I concentrate? Next question, how can I give you more energy? And then can you hear me only when my voice is being recorded and that type? But curiosity question.
Yeah.
Oh.
Would you like it to jump up to some of the
later? Yeah.
Or middle, somewhere.
Middle.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing that did happen, at about, I think it was late December, wasn't it? Is that I asked a question one day, and I asked, what can you tell me about what will happen to me when I die?
That was the first
and a voice came in and said, "Your uncle's dead, ask him." And at that point, I thought, by golly, they might be the dead.
And then
a voice came in, supposedly it was my uncle, and said a few things, and was actually reluctant to talk, didn't want to talk, and said he was cold, and said some other things. And that started the line of questioning, assuming, tentatively, that they were the dead, asking for friends, you know, etc. And so then our questioning from then on was, although it was still concerned with their existence, and still is for that matter, the questions were much more involved. For instance, can you tell me the name of the place that you live in? And which they did. And can you tell me the name of other places people can go, if there are any, which they've done? And but that it was a long process. It wasn't simple, because they seemed to, what appeared to us to be, avoiding questions, not eager to give direct answers. And it was a long and tedious process, dragging any of this information out of them, but it took a lot of persistence, of course, and perseverance. And eventually you do get answers if you keep asking the same question over and over and over and over again. And someone sneaks in and asks. And then a lot of the questions began to be based upon the answers. They would make a comment, well, that would bring up another question.
And then eventually it just became conversational.
Yeah, conversational in the sense that you ask a question, it might take you 20 minutes to decipher the 10 seconds or 15 seconds that you let the recorder play, and then, based upon what they said, ask another question. And the fact that they would have to be waiting all this time for you didn't seem to matter, and it became very natural simply to just ask another question or make another comment as if we had just heard it, as if they had just said it, and that's the way it's gone. So the transcription do be like a conversation. The questions asked, and I give the questions asked, and I give comments made back and forth, just like a regular conversation.
They read in a few minutes, it takes hours to transcribe.
I don't know what answers or what questions we can read later, because it gets so specific that they might be giving away some of the answers. And I think that might suggest that we influence someone else.
Well, you'd have to use your own judgment on that.
Yeah.
But I think that a lot of the questions, I think, are the kind that go through people's minds, but they perhaps never think about putting the question. In fact, I think many people who have been doing experiments in this field have just been running the tape recorder without carrying on a dialogue with the instrument.
Yeah, I do. Okay, I've asked things like this, you know, what is the real reason you talk with us? And that led to an interesting conversation. And do you have, what are your occupations? What do you do? You know, do you have jobs? Do you have to eat? What do you have to do to survive? All kinds of things like that. And can you describe one of the jobs that you have? And then I would say things like, please don't make it a vague description. I wanted you to describe it in detail. And the reason we started asking questions like that is because they were very vague. Some of the answers were very vague, and they like to say things like, you would never understand, you know, not begin to understand. And that was a big cop-out on their side. And it was something that I felt just didn't need to be put up with. We were going to do a lot of work to hear them, you know. It should be back and forth, you know, not one-sided. It's so much work on this side that I felt that a direct answer was at least deserved if you're going to spend that much time listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the answers I used to get most of the time, I don't know how to explain it. And at first I accepted that and would go on to something else. And finally I stopped accepting that, because it seemed to me they were using it entirely too often. You'd have to be a little pushy, in fact, just like you would if you were talking to someone else and they seemed to be beating around the bush.
You said in your introduction to the tape that we were going to say something about the names of the places. You want to do that?
Yeah, well, sometime along, yeah. Whether we do it now or after you've given a few more questions is
Well, if we do that, that's answering some of the questions.
Yeah. Well, I think that I think that one of the questions that you asked me these last couple of days, over and over again, is the question of, do I know of other people who have picked up information or references to so-called places or states of being in another dimension or in the other world? And my answer had to be that, although I have tried to follow developments in the paranormal tape field, that I am not familiar with the kind of specific information which you seem to have gotten. And of course, well, I say seem to have gotten because my ear is not sensitive enough to be trained so that I can pick up all these precise details, but I know enough from working with you so that I can see no reason why you should be making up these stories and be spending this much time working with it if you weren't convinced that you were in fact hearing these things. And so this is the way I think we have to proceed in many of these fields. If you decide that there is some obvious motive for deception or personal gain, you write that person off and don't spend time with them. But if it looks as though the person is sincere and trying to make some progress, then you assume the person is honest until you get evidence to the contrary. And in many cases, there is no such evidence. So on the basis of what you said, I think it would be very interesting to not only to Hannah Bushbeck, but to others whom she knows, and perhaps to people at the conference, to at least hear the names of the places and give them a clue and see whether or not those names or similar names are also mentioned on tapes made by other people, especially since some of these people will be from countries where different languages are spoken.
It
is my understanding that there will be people at this conference from England, Holland, Sweden, Germany, Spain, Austria, Switzerland, and Italy, and perhaps somebody from the United States. If I were twins, I would very much like to be there, but unfortunately I can't afford it at this time, and I'm also committed to speak about the voice phenomena at a conference which Harold Sherman is running just about the same period, June 9th to 11th. So why don't we turn for a few moments to describe the material we talked about this morning with Professor Cummings, where you indicate the word used to describe our present state of being, then the state to which entities usually pass when they first check out from planet Earth, and then how they can go upwards or laterally depending upon what their needs are and what kind of lives they've lived so far.
The only reason we were wondering is because it would be nice if these names, you know, came to us and were the same. But at the same time, people may have gotten some of these names, and maybe they're out of context, or maybe they don't understand what we're talking about. I'm from such and such.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe they have. So it would be good either way.
Okay, you want to start?
Well, you might as well start right here on Earth. And we had two names in the beginning. We might as well put them together. We got Dina, and Perina. And it took us a long time to figure out what was what.
We didn't know exactly what was what, but we kept getting them two names,
Dina and Perina.
Yeah. At first we were hearing them wrong. At first we got things like Dina, and, you know, and so once you hear it one way, you know, it's hard to get that out of your mind, so I kept hearing it as Dina, but pretty soon it was pretty clear that it was Dina. So it did come out after a long time of asking specific questions about these names, that Perina is what they call our existence here on Earth.
The physical.
Yeah. And then, supposedly, when one dies, he...
Or she.
Or she goes to Dina. That's how they said it.
After a delay, possibly.
Possibly.
First, when you first die, apparently, right, or you're here, well, in spirit, so to speak, in Perina, but I don't know,
for a matter of what, hours or days?
Well, it varies with individuals, apparently. And then Dina is the first thought.
Yeah. See, the reason we were confused about the term perinaw at first is because they said a person would die and we'd ask about them.